Matthew 24, verse 45 to 51. I'll just read it. He said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour that he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be what? Weeping. And what? A gnashing of teeth." What does weeping and gnashing of teeth mean? What does it represent? When someone is in these circumstances, if someone is weeping and gnashing their teeth, what does that mean? What emotion does it represent?
Regret.
Regret. It's regret. You see, the person who does not know the truth yet does not have much cause to gnash teeth. Yeah? They still have regret, but the greater regret is the person that knows the truth. Bible says, "Whoever knows to do good and doeth it not, to him is what? A sin." When you've received the truth, you can't hide anymore. Amen? You cannot receive the truth and play an ostrich. If you receive the truth places responsibility on you. You can't receive the truth and behave as if you didn't. You can't know the truth and behave as if you didn't know it. No. The truth places a responsibility on you to act. So if you receive the truth, and for example, like some of us in this church, we've done your discipleship course, you've received truth. You still go back and you go back and remain the same person. You can't. The truth is responsibility. So that servant that is weeping and agitated because he knew the truth, but because the master delayed, he started drifting and doing whatever he liked. He knew the truth in his conscience. He has known God before, but there are just excuses and rationalization. You know, if you want to find excuses, you'll find many. they are usually, once you start looking for excuses, you must find. Yeah? You know, whenever you're not willing to do something, you can find an excuse. You know? But when you are willing, yeah? Although there are challenges, you will press on. You see, to do the will of, I was talking to someone, I said, you know, if you want to do the will of God, like maybe you're praying and say, "Lord, you know, I want to know your will." The will of God is not always the easiest part. And it's not always the hardest part either. If you want God to guide you, you need to allow him to speak to you in your conscience. We call that the inner witness and the inner voice. The fact that everything is falling in place does not mean it's the will of God. And the fact that everything is not falling in place does not mean it's not the will of God. You see? Because when you want to walk in the will of God, the devil will rise. You know what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8? It says what? Be sober and what? Why? No, you're not told me. Go there. 1 Peter 5, 8. What you're saying is correct. I wanted to point something out. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Somebody just read it out and I'll tell you. I'll give you the answer there. Because whether you like it or not, whether you are gentle or a troublemaker, you know there are some people that are trouble. Let's start with children. You know, children have different personalities. You have children that their natural personality is to make, they cook it. When they show up, you know, trouble has come. Yeah, it's just a personality. And you have some other personality that is calm. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. It's just all children need training. Whether a child is calm or what? Or wild, they all need what? Training. So you may be calm. That doesn't mean you don't have an adversary. And many times you think your adversary are people. But people are just being used. The real adversary is who? It's the devil. And the devil will use anybody that allows him. It doesn't matter whether you've been in church for 20 years. You know Judas? Judas was with Jesus for 3.5 years. I hope you know that when Jesus sent out the 12 to preach, Judas was there. He sent them to heal. He was there. He healed. He sent them to raise the dead. He sent them to cast out demons. You know, they came back and said, oh, we're so happy. We're so happy. The demons were, you know, they were going. Judas casted out demons. Yeah? But when you read your Bible, nearer the time of the betrayal, the Bible says, and the devil entered him. The devil is the adversary. Are you with me? And he's going about. What is he doing? What's the devil's job? He's going about. What's the devil's job? So go to and fro. Seeking who? Who to devour. He didn't say destroy. So his goal is to destroy, yeah? But the first step is, you know, the first step is not destruction. Yeah? He's looking for anybody to catch as a victim. When the work is advanced, that's what we call destruction does not stand in one day. Yeah? The devil cannot destroy you in one day. Are you with me? He's going to first pull you back. Distract you. Yeah? As you open the door, he goes in. That's why we need to what? Watch and what? And pray. I always see that. I say, if Jesus had to do it, your technology does not make you better. The fact that you have a smartphone. Hello? You know the smartphone? Technology is a dummy. The devil can use it. God can also use it. Amen? Technology is not evil on its own. It depends on who is using it. Hallelujah. So the fact that you have a smartphone and you have a smart brain and you have a nice air door, a nice air cord, does not stop the devil. Praise the Lord. So I have a question. What does it mean to watch? What's the basic meaning? If I say somebody should watch, what does it mean? Yes? The basic, if you are telling someone to watch or be watchful, what is the basic idea of being watchful? And one of the things that can help you define it is when you think about the opposite. Yes? Somebody help me. What does it mean to watch? Come on, youth. Let's start the youth first. What does it mean to watch? When you say to someone, watch or be watchful, what are you telling them to do? Yes, thank you.
Give your attention to them.
Excellent answer. I love it. Watch means pay attention or give attention. Let me explain this. You know, you can be looking at something and not watching. You are looking, but you are not seeing. I don't know. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You are looking. And that's what's happened to Christians. You are looking, but you are not what? Why will you be looking and not seeing? Tell me.
If your mind.
You know, to watch, your mind needs to be engaged. Not just your body. I mean, it's good for your body to be engaged. I always tell people, no matter how you are feeling, if you are feeling rough or feeling bad, still drag yourself to church. You will still get something or be blessed. You know? You may be feeling low. And some people tell me that I'm feeling low, that's why I didn't come to church. Oh no, you missed it. You missed it. The more reason. When you're feeling low, you need to come. There's a bigger reason. Not say, but I can't do more. Yes, drag yourself there. Sit there. Just sit. Sit. God will find you there. Amen? So it's good for your body to be engaged. But your mind. Your mind is part of your spirituality. If your mind is messed up, yeah, it hinders your spirit. You see, your is a three is three rectangles. I would have said the circles, but I saw in the Bible that the temple, the tabernacle of Moses is a rectangle. And our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that's the structure. The outer rectangle is the body. The inner rectangle is the soul. And the innermost rectangle is what? The spirit. Your soul is inside your spirit. That's why where your soul goes, your spirit goes along. And your soul and spirit are inside what? Your body. When someone dies now, their body is shed out, but the soul and the spirit inside, they go together. Your soul, which is, includes your mind, is a gateway to your spirit. So if your soul is messed up, though your spirit is alive to God, your spirit is born again, you love God, but the gate, yeah, the gate affects how you. So if God wants to move from your spirit now and do something in your life, for that thing to be complete, it needs to affect both your soul and your body. But if your soul is messed up, yeah, everything God wants to do just remains in your spirit. It's not going to translate to your body, because the soul is the gate of your spirit. So to watch, your mind has to be engaged, paying attention. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4. Let me just emphasize, let me push that point before I go to the next question. Proverbs chapter 4. Please open your Bible. If you have a phone, yeah, and all you're doing with your phone is watching YouTube, listening to worldly music full of nonsense words, you are not watching. You're not. Because the world has nothing to teach you about God. All the world wants to teach you, yeah, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of. I feel like I'm something. The moment you feel like you are something, you will drift from God. If someone says, "Oh, Pastor, can you give me a good definition of sin?" Sin is the pursuit of self. What does it sin is? What sin? It's the pursuit of self. Because when God made you, He made you to pursue Him. So in order to pursue self, you must turn your back. Yeah, every sin is traced back to you pursuing self in opposition to God. That's the first sin. Lucifer, anointed cherub. He wasn't just an angel. He was a cherub. That's top angel. Yeah, he had everything. Yeah, and he was in the presence of God. In fact, he was in the New Jerusalem. If you read your Bible, Ezekiel, he said, you were in Eden. That Eden is not the one on earth. You know, there's an Eden on earth. But there's a paradise, which was the Garden of Eden. But there's a paradise coming, which is the New Jerusalem. Which is the higher one. Which is the bigger one. It's the one on high. Eden is the paradise of God. Yeah? He said, you are on the mountain of God. That mountain is New Jerusalem, I showed you. It's a mountain. 1,400 miles. Cube. Lucifer was there on the mountain of God in Eden. Yeah? Perfect. But when he started focusing on himself, is that sin? Sin starts when you start pursuing yourself. You understand? But when you focus on God and you pursue God, every other thing you need in your life will be added. Because, let me tell you why. Because the idea of life did not come from you. Like if you're a young person, you're a teenager, and you're just discovering, you know, life. That idea was not yours. Everything is programmed by God. Everything that is good in this life is programmed by God. God made it possible. If God does not want it to be possible, it is impossible. It won't happen. If your body is changing, God made it possible. It's not anything new. It's not you that did it. So the very idea of life and the pleasurable things in life, all the things that make us happy, is it food, is it drink, is it what, friends, is it, I don't know, whatever. Everything is packaged within what God has allowed. So when you take hold of the good that God has given, and you want to enjoy it and keep it out. Don't you get it? I designed a car. I made a car. Now you take it and say, I don't care about who made it. I don't care about whatever. This is mine. I'm going to do with it whatever I like. Of course, one day you're set off for a crash. It's going to happen. Because you didn't make it.
He didn't design it. So you cannot know how to handle it perfectly without the
manufacturer. That's why you take your car for a service, isn't it? And even without the service, you need the manual. You know, you need the manual to know exactly what to do. So watching is giving attention.
Romans and Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. Yes, somebody who has not spoken? Yes? Stephen, it's your turn. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23.
My child, this is NLT.
Yes.
My child, pay attention to what
pay I say. Pay attention
to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body.
Amen.
Guard what? your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life.
Amen. Let's stop it there. How do you get life? I mean, the fullness of life in this world. How do you get it? It's by paying attention to his words. How do you get, how can you have a wholesome life, a healthy life? Well-being in spirit, soul, and body. Your life on the right path. Not messed up by the devil. How? Pay attention to what? His words. You know why? You know why? You are a product of a designer. You can never perform better than what was designed in you. Your best performance in life is when you perform in accordance with your design. When you drift from your design, you are performing worse. Never better. It's impossible. Hello? I want you to just understand the way I'm trying to explain it. That you can't perform better than what you were designed for. If you drift from your design, it's always worse. It doesn't matter if you have all the friends in the world or all the money in the world. When you're off your design, you're worse. Not better. Praise the Lord. That's why the designer says, for you to be the best you, pay attention to what? My words. Because my words is the operation. They give you the guidelines for how your life will operate for the best performance on a daily basis. I want to talk about these words. We're talking about the Bible and also the Holy Spirit. What is speaking to you in your heart? Because then, you know, the beauty of being born again, of being a believer in Christ, that you are not just following a code, you know. But you have the Holy Spirit inside you. It brings the Word of God to life. It gives you specific instruction. Yeah? It leads your path. But as many as are led by what? The Spirit. They are what? The sons of God. The people in the Old Testament, they were not the sons of God. Abraham was not a son of God. Check your Bible. Isaac was not. And Jacob was not. They were servants of God. Because they were not born again. But in the New Testament, we have something better. He said, as many as received him. He gave them what? The power. To become what? Sons of God. Say, I'm a son of God. And you may wonder, you know, like you're a woman, and I'm saying you should say you're a son of God. Because in the spirit, there's no gender. Your gender is in your body. Yeah? So when you shed off this body, we are all soul and spirit. The gender barrier is over. The gender is needed for this life. It's not useless. It has a purpose. Male and female, he created them. And we should all fulfill our purpose. The male is not better than the female. The female is not better than the male. The reason is because the female is unique. The male cannot perform what the female does. And the male is, and moreover, the Bible says that he took Eve out of Adam. So really, completion only happens. I'm not talking just about marriage, but I'm talking about life. Life is only beautiful when male and female, you know, work together to do the will of God. Everybody is important. You are made in the image of God. But the day is coming when you shed off the body. In the spirit, you are a son of God. As many as received him, he gave them what? The power to become what? Sons of God. So I'm coming back to the issue of watching. Watching is paying attention, giving attention. Now, let me ask you another question about watching and say, what is the opposite? What is the opposite of watching? If you are not watching, what are you doing? Sorry? Sleeping. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Other times, if you are not watching, what are you doing? You're a believer, but you are not watching. What are you doing? Come on. Sleeping is a good answer. Excellent. I'm just looking for other similar answers. Sorry?
Looking.
You are just looking in vain. You are drifting. Yes, another one. Come on. Yeah? I know some people say, but I'm not sleeping. What about slumber? What about the other one I like when I'm dealing with my alarm? Snoozing. You are snoozing. Yeah, you're in slumber. A lot of Christians are what? In slumber. They don't get carried away because someone says, I'm born again and Jesus is Lord. They could be in slumber. You know what? You will see different things in their life. We will mention those things today because we can pull them out from here. Ask yourself, say, am I watching? Or am I sleeping? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall. Temptation will come, but you will not fall. When you are watching and praying, you will not. There are some temptations you will not enter. I always tell people, I say, when you're in the right path, some things will not come your way. You will not make some mistakes because you are just walking the walk. But some ideas will not even come because you are walking in walk. You are in church, you are in fellowship, you are listening to the word of God. Some ideas will not even trouble you. But when you are out of fellowship, you are out of the path of righteousness, the ideas you thought could never tempt you will come. You've been wondering, like, you mean this can actually happen? Yes, it can. Because you were not what? Watching. As I said, watch and pray that you enter not into what? Into temptation. The reason that the Spirit is willing, I know you love God. Yeah, I always say, if you are born again, you love God. If you are not sure whether you love God, you are not born again. Hello? It doesn't matter whether you say the prayer. If you are born again, your spirit has been reborn. The Holy Spirit has come in. You love God. And if you are truly born again, you want to do the will of God. If you are not sure about that, you are not born again. But I'm not saying that to tell you you are not born again. I'm telling you that that's the proof. Yeah? You may not be perfect. Being perfect is not the proof that you are born again. Yeah? The fact that you did not sin at all is not the proof. But you love God. And you want to do the will of God from the bottom of your heart. That's proof. Your life, your spirit is alive to God. Hallelujah. But despite the fact that you love God, you may not do the will of God. You can love God and not do his will. We know that from the story, yeah? There were two servants. They were servants of the master. They both loved God. They both loved Jesus. But one did the will, one did not. What's the difference? Watch. The person who is paying attention and giving attention, yeah, we find it easier to do the will. You know, sometimes it doesn't have to be a struggle. If your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. Because you have attention. This is an attention problem. You know, there's something they call attention deficiency syndrome. It's a spiritual problem. Once you are not paying attention, yeah, you will struggle. You find other ways to act spiritual, but spirituality is gone because spirituality comes from attention. You pay attention. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to what I'm saying. If God has spoken to me, yeah, and I don't pay attention, I have missed God in that area of my life. It doesn't matter if I make some extra money. Yeah? It doesn't matter if I've just bought new nice clothes. That's not the proof that you're in the will of God. The proof is that God spoke, you heard, and you paid attention. Because you can't walk in the will of God without paying attention to the word of God. The word of God is his will. Praise the Lord. Quick question. What are the evidences that someone is not watching? Let's do not first before we look at watching. So if someone is not watching, what do you see in their life? Someone is not watching. They are not paying attention. They're servant of God, but they're not paying attention. Look at the story. What are some of the things you will see? Yes?
Disobedience.
Disobedience, yes. Obviously. If you're not paying attention yet to the instruction, what will you do? You do something else. Of course. And sometimes you don't even know you're disobedient because you did not pay attention. It's like I said, Sean, you know, go and get your brother, whatever, and you did not. Yeah. How can you even follow through? Yes. Let's have more examples. Someone is not watching. They will be unfaithful. Sometimes the unfaithfulness is not the problem. The problem is not watching. You see, your watching empowers your faithfulness. Yeah? An aspect of not watching is, let me break it down. It's not praying. For example, if I want to do something, yeah, and I don't pray, I have not invited God. You know, God is not a forcer. If God was a forcer, he would have forced Adam not to sin. Have you ever thought about it? If God was a forcer, there will be no sin. But God is love. Love does not force. Love will persuade. Love will propose. Love will invite. Love will encourage. But love does not force. Amen? Love wants you to choose what is right voluntarily. What love provides is it gives you all the atmosphere to make a good choice. But then love allows you to make that choice. Are you with me? Yeah? Are you with me? And the key to not make bad choices is to pay attention. Now, if you doubt the goodness of God, if you doubt that God is not good, if you doubt that God maybe wants to change you and deny you something good, yeah, you will not pay attention. That's what the Bible says. He said, he who comes to God must believe that he... You see, to walk with God, to live by faith, yeah, to do the will of God, you must understand that God is good. You see, because once I understand that God is good, I can trust him. Because trusting means that sometimes you walk through the valley of the shadow of... It's not the valley of death. It's a shadow. It will look like. Yeah? It needs trust. No, if God is leading me and he's a good God, the end has got to be good. You see, if I look around, I will never walk that valley. I will run. Valley? No valley. I want to walk on the mountaintop all the time. But if I trust God that is good and he's leading me through this valley, I know that at the end of the valley is something better. Because God is good. And I have to walk through that valley trusting God. Okay, let's have more evidences. Let's see how we're doing with time. Yes, more evidences of not watching. Let me give you one. Yeah, look at the story. He said, if that evil servant, yeah, says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, what does he do? He begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. So give me, from that story, give me examples of not watching. Audrey, Sean, Mumba, from the story. Eating. I like what you said, you just put it out. The man said his master is delaying, so he puts off watching. So what does he do? He's whining and dining with what? Unbelievers. No, but always say, oh, but I'm not whining and dying with unbelievers. I don't rely on unbelievers. No. Let me tell you what it means to whine and dine with unbelievers. You are copying the ways of the world. The world does it and it's okay. So what's the problem? I don't see anything bad in it. That is meaning you're not thinking like that. You're doing what they do. You see? Because he's not watching. When you're not watching, there'll be not much difference between you and an unbeliever. You'll be doing everything. Your own version is just spiritualized. you've Christianized it, but it's exactly the same thing. The unbelievers are pursuing money, yeah, to the detriment of their soul. And the believer who is doing that is eating and drinking with the drunkards. Because there's no difference. Yeah? The unbelievers, it's all about me, myself. Yeah? Even when they want to do something for charity, they are doing it so that they can look good. And the Bible says they have their reward. They have what? Their reward. Let me tell you something. Somebody does not have time. Yeah? Let me give you an example. Somebody does not have time there in church. When it comes to setting up the church, they are not there. They don't have time. Yeah? When it comes to giving up, they are not there. Now they now go. They say they want to run for charity. They have their reward. They didn't see God. They saw people. You see that? I'm telling you. They saw what? They will sacrifice for what will make them look good in the eyes of people. For a good cause. You can pursue a good cause and God is not there. Because for God to be in a good cause, he will be the one leading you. It's not every good cause that is of God. You have to let him lead you. You see that? They'll be drinking and eating and enjoying themselves. They are not watching. If you call a prayer meeting, they're not there. But if you call a party, they're show banker. They're not watching. They're not. I'm not saying party is bad, but you understand the comparison I'm saying. Yeah? Prayer meeting, zero. Party, show banker. They are not what? Watching. Are you with me? Bible says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. It means that, you know, the devil cannot get you off guard. You know, you are steady. You know, if you want to land safely on ashore, you need to keep that boat steady. Let me try to break that point down. What I'm saying is that if you are going, you have a destination spiritually, you want to get there, you must stay steady at the steering. Don't allow yourself to drift. Don't allow your boat to tumble over. Stay steady. If you are steady, you will get to destination. No, let me change it. If you are steady, you must get to destination. It may take long. Remember the story of my sister? You know, 1 year, this journey, 1 year. That's my sister there. But all that's just in my way, stay steady. Stay what? Steady. Just be steady, steady. We will get there. Keep praying. Just be steady. Keep your head above the waters. Keep trusting God. Keep praying. Keep doing what you need to do. It may take long, but the day will come. That baby will be born. Hallelujah. 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 It feels very good when the baby is born. Yeah? If you've gone through a journey of being pregnant, you know what I mean? You just stay steady. just mark your time well. The day will come. Especially if your first time. You know, when it's the first time, yeah? All you think in your head is that, what does it feel like to even have a baby? And what will my baby look like? And you know all the stuff. And then finally, one day, like my wife said, like, oh, so it's you. My baby said, oh, so it's you. It will happen. Stay steady. Praise the Lord. Okay, we begin to sort of, I think another 10 minutes, we begin to round up. So, look at, he said, that servant begin to beat his fellow servant. What does that mean in today's world? Let's change the language, because that language, yeah, you may not, let's try to apply it. If you try to apply that statement to the servant, that evil servant begin to beat his fellow servant. What does that mean in today's world? As a Christian, you know, to your fellow believers,
people trying to put themselves above others.
Yes. You have something to say.
Being unkind.
Unkind. But it's being unkind, putting yourself first. Remember that song? I put myself first. Yeah, that's it. Because you're no longer paying attention to the master. Yeah? So you start playing to the gallery. You start playing to the opinion of men. You start serving your selfish interest. You start going for what? Yeah, you have something to say. Tell me. Yeah. Example of, you know, when that servant is beating his fellow servants. Give me an example in today's world. What can a Christian do that looks like they are beating their fellow servants? Okay, I'll give you some time. Let me give you my example. No, not walking in law. Manipulation. You know? Cheating, stealing, manipulation. Blackmail. Betrayal. Yeah? Betrayal. Yes? Any ideas coming to mind? Maltreatment. You know, someone can use the Bible to maltreat you. They will do you bad things and they will back it up with the word of God. Have you met those people? they will harass you, oppress you, do bad things to you, and then tell you it's your fault. It's your fault. They are not walking in love. You know that church in Revelation said, I have something against you. He said your love has what? That's wax cold. Or what did he say it? The first church in Revelation. He said, your first love. You have lost your first love. You're no longer burning with that love. You know, when you are burning with love for Jesus, you are ready to sacrifice for others. You are willing to forgive. You know, that servant who was beating these other servants, it's not as if he beat them without cause. In his own mind, they offended him. Do you get it? You know, there are people who are oppressors. But in their mind, they consider that people that are oppressing has offended them. So they are getting back at them. And in their own mind, they are right because it was their fault. But when you're working in love, it's easier to sacrifice. You know, it's easier to sacrifice. You go the extra mile. Are you with me? So those are signs of not watching. And of course, the key sign of not watching is that when the believer is not watching, you know what certainly will not be doing? They will not be praying. But listen, I need to qualify that. There are believers who pray and they are watching. How do you know? All they are praying is, God, bless me, promote me, give me better, better, better. Selfish prayer! I have 2,000 in my bank account. I'm trusting you, God, that by the end of the year, it will be 10. They can pray those prayers. Lord, destroy all my enemies. Make me number one. And make sure that the number two are my children. They will pray it. They will pray it. Hallelujah. Do you see? That's not watching prayer. That's selfish. I told you, sin is the pursuit. Every time I start pursuing myself, sin is there. When I pursue God, righteousness. You see, righteousness is not even what you can achieve on your own. Righteousness is pursuing God. It is righteousness that comes over you. But because you are pursuing it, you are following it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So let me just ask one more question and then we begin to tidy it up there. So other examples of a believer not watching is poor quality service. You dare not do it with God, they'll complain. And even when they do it, minimum best. The love is not burning. You with me? Poor quality service. And yeah, let me stop it there. So two more questions now. I want to say now. For your, as a true believer, if you want to be sure you are watching, what are the activities that are key? So there are some activities that in your Christian life, they are key. If they are out, you are not watching. Yes, what is it? Number one, the easiest is I come to you. Yes?
Praying.
Look, I want to explain. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you know. Prayer is communion and communication with God. Prayer is the way. Look, God is not man that invented prayer. It's God. God, in prayer, God allows you to. Prayer is an opportunity for you to enlist God as part of your life. Voluntarily. You won't force it. The will of God is not done automatically. There are some things that are the will of God that it will happen. The world will end. It will be destroyed. There will be new heavens and new earth. Doesn't depend on anybody. The will of God. But on the other hand, many times the will of God in your life is dependent on you. That's why it says your kingdom come. And your will be done what? On earth. As it is. I always say it's not God that is running this world. Who is running the world? Sorry? Let me get the answer. Who is running this world right now? Who is running UK? Who is running Belgium? Let me tell you, yeah? It's man. But the answer you gave is correct. I don't want to just show you another dimension. It's man that is running the world. But man is a puppet. It's whoever they allow to rule them spiritually that runs. And so long the majority of men in this world reject God, yeah, it means that the person running the world is Satan, operating through them. Even Satan cannot run this world without men. Let me tell you why. Because when God created the earth and the heavens, then he created man. What did he say? What did he say to him? He said, have dominion. Who did he give dominion over the earth? Man. Adam. We are all inside Adam, including Eve. Eve came out of Adam. Okay? So, but when man opens the door to Satan, then Satan will rule. So long the majority of men in this world today are not following God, are not allowing God to rule in their lives, who is ruling? Satan. You see how it works? So also, Satan does not have to rule your life. He doesn't have the right because Jesus died and he rose again. Hallelujah. My job is to keep Satan far away. And I'm telling you, there's a benefit. If Satan does not rule my life, you know that I can also make sure that he doesn't rule my home. I mean, everybody that is in my home can benefit. I mean, like if I'm a rich man and you're living in my home, won't you benefit? Will you be having a cold winter? Yeah. So if I keep Satan out of my life, it can overflow to everybody in my household. That's the kingdom of God moving forward. It belongs to you. Say it belongs to me. Victory over Satan in this world belongs to me. But you have to pay attention to his words. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why when God wanted to save the world, you know what he had to do? He became a man. He had to what? Become a man. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God and he's also man. Hallelujah. Okay, let's begin to round up there. What was the question I asked? Do you remember? Or maybe I didn't ask it. The key activities. Prayer. So in prayer, God wants you to partner with him every day of your life. So, you're about to do something, talk to God, ask him. This is where I normally do it. You don't have to go on your knees and lock yourself out for 30 minutes for those that will pray. You say, Lord, this is my plan, these are my thoughts, this is what I'm thinking to do today, you know. What do you think? Or how should I go about it? Or what do you have to say? Even if I have people coming to, you know, walk in my house or fix something, I say, God, today, you know, these people are coming, I put it in your hands. Is there anything you need to do? You know, what should I do? What should I take control? You are enlisted because the reason that I say, oh, why doesn't God do it automatically? You have free will. So, God wants you. It's a love relationship. It's a love relationship. Love relationship is always two-way. So, God wants you to enlist him. It makes him happy. You know, like when you're in a love relationship, yeah? It's two-way. If it's one-way, it's not love. It makes sense. So, prayer is key. Any other activity? Fellowship.
It's not our idea. It's by design. That's why God made Adam, then took Eve out. You know what God is saying there? Fellowship is important if you are going to get the best. Not just in marriage, but in life. So fellowship with true believers is important. If you are watching, it's not easy to watch alone. It's not easy for the cold to stay out alone. It needs to be in fellowship. Yes, another one. Key activity that prove that you are watching. Yes, Sean? You must have an idea. Bible! That's why I like in this story. We confirm my Bible is the written word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every... You know what the Bible says? That's your design. You can never be better than what the world makes you. By design. A car is designed to take diesel. If you put petrol, you're not going to be better. You're going to be worse. Your spirit, the Bible says, by him, the word, all things were made. So this is your constitution. Like I preached one day, I said, the constitution of your life is the word. Don't look at it from legal point of view. Look at it from biological point of view. You are constituted by the word. So that's why it feeds you. So the Bible is the center. It's the center. Like my friend Pastor always said, the Bible, yeah, is the most accurate representation of God that you have access to on this side of eternity. Bible says no man has seen God at any time. This is the closest you get to God in this life, because this reveals who God is. Okay? And let me just surrender. Let me see another thing in my list, and then we'll leave it there. And we'll talk about faithfulness in serving God. One thing I need to say, one more, because we don't say it enough, because we think that this only applies physically. You know, or do you understand what I'm trying to talk about? It's discipline. Many of us, we are not spiritually disciplined. We don't know where we're on duty. You know, sometimes it looks like your service to God is a favor. You're on duty. Self-control. Self-discipline. If you are watching, you got to be disciplined. Of course, with the grace of God, it's not in your power. But you must embrace it. Don't embrace indiscipline. It will compromise you. You know? You got to be disciplined. Got to have a pattern. Got to have a routine. Yeah? And so if you still set any time to pray, you won't pray. Oh, yeah, you will pray when you are about to enter your car on your fast way to the train station. Your discipline. Routine is part of your life. Discipline. If you don't plan your giving, you will not give properly. You will spend all your money on every other thing, and you give God the change. Discipline. Yeah? If you see a problem coming and you don't plan how to approach it before it comes, if it comes on you suddenly, it will defeat you. Discipline. There are some people that you know that it should not be in your life because you know they are stumbling block. Yeah? You can't play the hostage and just allow them and hope that miracle will happen. Say, if your right eye is offending you, what do you do? Yeah, it's not telling you to pluck out. But it's telling you that there's something in your life that it looks part of your life, but really is a problem to your life. Cody, don't wait and just play the ostrich and say, well, God will sort it. God doesn't work like that. If God has given you dominion, God will not come and exercise the dominion he has given you for you. Except he's not giving you. So discipline. If you want to go far, if you are disciplined in your Christian life, in your Christian service, in your attitude to God, you will go further. You will go much further. Okay, let's leave it there. Let's rise up and talk to God. I hope that the Lord has spoken to you today. Someone say, oh, but I want a message that will grow my faith. This is a message that will grow your faith. Because if your attention is purified, you will be growing. You'll be growing. Oh, I want a message that will help me have breakthrough. It's a message that will help you have breakthrough. Because it's words. coming to you at the right time of need and your ability to listen and follow is breakthrough. Even if it's leading you to the valley, it can only lead you to the valley because he has a better destination. He's not a crazy God. If God is leading me to the valley, there is something outside that valley that is good. Amen? Talk to God. Just rededicate yourself to God. Choose. I want to propose in your heart that you are a wise, you will be a wise and faithful servant. It's a decision. Everything that happens is a decision. If it wasn't a decision, God would have done everything and transformed all human beings into heaven. You know, God is that good. He wants everybody to go to heaven, doesn't he? He wants. God does not want anyone to perish. So it is a function of their decisions. It's not because God did not provide everything he needed to provide. God has provided. You know, there's enough room in New Jerusalem for the whole of mankind. I'm talking about quintillions, 10 raised by 18 people. There's enough room in New Jerusalem. It's their decision. So I want to just propose in your heart today, say, I propose to be a wise and faithful servant. And I know the key. The key is to watch. Jesus says, watch you therefore, because you don't know the hour that your Lord is coming. What does it mean to watch? Pay attention to what? His words. Give time to prayer. Give time for fellowship. Give time for evangelism. Give time for serving the Lord. Which, you know, don't use all your energy to serve money. So say, I'm not serving money. You are serving money. If all your energy is on your work and the goal is to make money, you are serving money. But give quality time. Now, you need money, but you want to serve God with your money. And the proof that you're serving God with money is that you have time for God. First, when you have time for God, you can't serve money. And when you bring in part of your money to support the work of God, you are not serving money. But when you don't have time for God, and you don't have, you are serving money. Praise the Lord. Go talk to God and say, Father, to give you quality service. Quality. Quality service in all I do. And I receive the grace to do that. I want to be someone you will use in Basingstoke and United Kingdom to pull other people in to the path of righteousness. You know, that's why you're there. You're not just there to mark time until you leave this world and you go to heaven. You are here. You are the light of the world. And you are the salt of the your body is small. In your school, you can bring someone to Christ. You can. Audrey, you can. Sean, you can. You are capable. Elmi, you can. In your workplace, you can be that vessel of love and light to someone around you. And the Lord will help us. In Jesus' name.